Turn with me in your Bibles to Proverbs 18, verse 21. We'll continue in a series, The Power of the Spoken Word. Today, I want to teach you our lesson title is Learning to Control My Mouth. Learning to Control My Mouth. Amen. Proverbs 18, verse 21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Amen. You can be seated. Also, if you turn, we're going to read a few little bit of scripture here. If you want to stand to read, that's fine too. Proverbs 13, verse 1 through 3. A wise son heareth his father's instructions, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. A man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth, but the soul of the transgressors shall eat violence. He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, and he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. Proverbs 18, 4 through 8. The words of a man's mouth are as deep waters, and the wellspring of wisdom as a flowing brook. It is not good to accept the person of the wicked, to overflow the righteous in judgment. Listen to this. A fool's lips entered into contention, and his mouth calleth for strokes. A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. The words of a talebearer are the word wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. Proverbs 18, 19 to 21. A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city, and their contentions are like the bars of a castle. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Amen. You can be seated. An average man speaks enough words in 1 year to fill 66 books, 800 pages long. He speaks 20,000 words a day. The average woman, 30,000 words a day. We are a nation or a people in the world, too, of talkers. You have talk shows on TV, talk shows on the radio. We have car phones. We like to talk. And today, folks, probably 55 million or more Americans will listen to 400,000 pastors deliver over 1 billion words. When it is all said and done, a lot more is said than done. And the Bible says in Proverbs 13, verse 3, those who control their tongue will have a long life. Opening your mouth can ruin everything. The Bible says that self-control means controlling the tongue. There is so much in Proverbs on words. There is over 120 verses related to different things about our speech. And I want to summarize everything in three statements. This is the Sermon of the Mouth. Instead of Sermon on the Mount, the Sermon of the Mouth. Think before you speak, number one. Number two, always speak the truth. And number three, speak the truth in love. Amen? So let's look at think before you speak. So it's to contemplate what you're going to say before you communicate. Okay? Proverbs 16:23, for a wise mind comes wise speech. The words of the wise are persuasive. Okay? You see, the biggest battle you'll ever face is your own mouth. Not other people's, but your own mouth. Get your mind in gear before you engage your tongue. Have you seen these game shows where they guess the answer before the question is given? And they always get it wrong because they assume they know what is being said. So never, folks, never assume anything. Okay? Learn to think before you speak. You will have to live with the consequences of everything you say. So people, listen to your words, because words reveal who you are. All right? Let me give you an example. This is called the mother's story. A mother invited some people to dinner. At the table, she turned to her six-year-old daughter and said, "Honey, would you like to say the blessing?" And the little girl said, "I wouldn't know what to say." "Just say what you hear mommy say," the mother answered. So the daughter bowed her head and said, "Lord, why on earth did I invite these people to dinner?" You see what I said? Words reveal who you are. The daughter bowed her head and said, "Lord, why did I invite these people to dinner?" You have to live with consequences of what you say. The Bible says death and life are in the power of the tongue. Have you ever set off a chain of reaction with your words? You see, people have died for saying the wrong things in life. Proverbs 20 and 25, "It is a snare for a man to devote rashly something as holy and afterwards to reconsider his vows." You know, you people speak something, "I'm going to do this," and then later on you're like, "Man, why did I do that?" You were rashly speaking. Choose your commitments carefully. Okay? Calculate the cost. That's one thing. It's sometimes, sometimes it's a curse, and other times it's a blessing. But as a pastor, I always think about if somebody comes and asks me something, all right, wait a minute. If I allow this, what could be my consequences later on? "Well, you let so-and-so do this." So I always try to calculate and always try to think ahead. Why? Why do I do this? If I do this, will I get this result? And so we need to calculate sometimes before we speak. If I say I'm going to do this, you've all heard the story where my pastor asked me to do something. This was years ago. I was young and foolish, and I came back to him the last minute. "Hey, I'm running out of town. I got to go pick up this girl down here, and if I don't make it back, can you take care of it?" Bad thing to do. And later on, he told me, "If you'd have been there, if I could have been right in front of you, I'd have punched you right in the face." Because he asked me to do something the last minute, I'm getting ready to back out of it. So, I learned then and from then right there that when I say I'm going to do something, I am going to do what I said I will do. Amen? And it changed everything in my life. Amen? So you see, you will say words sometimes to get the attention of the devil and turn on the law of sin and death. And or you will say words that will get the attention of God and turn on the law of life in Christ Jesus. So think before you speak. Amen? You see, it's a trap to agree to something before you really thought it through. All right, somebody asks you to do something. All right, say, "Well, tell them a minute. Give me a little time to think it over. I'm not going to make a decision right now." That's one thing me and my wife have worked out years ago. Don't go agree. Let me talk to my wife, and if she doesn't have something planned for that day, we'll do our best to see what we can do. So we have to think things through. Talk is not cheap. It can cost you a lot. Amen? You say, "Well, why?" Because every time you speak, you are giving someone authority to work in your life. Right? So since you are going to be speaking anyways, you might as well put God's word on your mouth and give him the authority. Amen? So choose to, "I'm going to give it to God. I'll let God, I'll speak his words, I'll do all these things." And so either the angels will be released on your behalf or demons will be released on your behalf, depending on what you want. How many of you know talk is not cheap? It's not. It is always easier to get in than to get out. It is easier to get into debt than to get out of debt, right? It is easier to fill up your schedule than to get out of your schedule. It is always easier to get into than to get out of something. So it's a trap for a man to dedicate something rashly and only later to consider his vows. Think before you speak. And that's hard. It's a hard lesson to learn. You say, "Well, why?" Because whatever you like is like, whatever your life is like, it is a result of your tongue. Amen? What you say can make you sick or can make you well. What you say can make you happy or can make you sad. What you say can make you rich or poor. What you say can get you married or get you divorced. Right? What you say. What you say can win friends or can make enemies. What you say can get you hired or can get you fired. Amen? Proverbs 12:13. The wicked is snared by the transgression of his lips, but the just shall come out of trouble. Have you ever said yes to a salesman and later said, man, I regret that? Have you ever made a promise to your kids that they wouldn't forget? You said you would take me. My wife is a big advocate. Don't tell them you're going to spank them, or don't tell them they're going to get grounded, unless you mean business. Because if you back out of it, they're going to say, he never means what he says, or she never means what they say. When you tell them something, you better follow through. Amen? Or they'll look at you as liars. Okay? And all that stuff will come back when they're mad at you. When you're arguing with, yeah, but you said this. Oh, that's right, I did. Okay? Think before you speak. But see, folks, you know what else? We have to always speak the truth. Always speak the truth. Proverbs deals with a lot of kinds of dishonesty. Lying and deceit, exaggerations. Proverbs does this. And let's talk about the failure to be frank with people. Okay? The failure to be frank with people. I mean straight up. Okay? Let me tell you something. If you want to grow in the Lord and learn how the best way to live, read Proverbs. Okay? Read Proverbs. It's a good book. It'll tell you a lot of things that you need to do and a lot of things you shouldn't do. But when you're talking about being frank with people or being straight up with people, isn't that a form of dishonesty if you're not straight up? You know, you're talking to somebody and there's something you know you should tell them. Like you got a booger hanging out of your nose or something like that. Hey, let me tell you something, folks. If I see a booger hanging on your nose, I'm going to tell you. Because I want you to tell me if you see one of mine. I know it's gross, but hey, we're all human. Okay? And, you know, you need it. Come on. I want to know. You know what? I was at a hotel when we was at NAYC, and this gentleman was at the counter behind me, and I kept seeing this thing in his nose. I'm like, man. Got to tell him. And I said, sir, he said, what? I said, you got a booger hanging out of your nose. He said, no, that's my, and I didn't know it, but he had a nose ring. I didn't know, but I could see this part because he's tall. I'm like this. He says, a lot of people tell me that today. I'm thinking, man, I'd take that thing out so fast. But I wouldn't want somebody to tell me. I wouldn't want to walk around hanging something like that out of me. It happens. But, you know, I'm trying to get a point across here and trying to be a little fun here, but we have to be straight up. And there's things sometimes that we want to say to somebody because we see it in them and we don't, and it's going to come back to haunt you if you're not. Now, there's ways to go about it, and I'm probably getting ahead of myself. So if you don't say things that you know, it's kind of being dishonest. When you don't really tell people the truth, it's kind of being dishonest. So in theory, you would all agree that honesty is the best policy. Amen? Honesty is the best policy. Why wouldn't you tell me that later on, they say? Well, I just didn't want to make you mad. I didn't want to upset you. Well, be honest with me. I need your honesty. I need you. Me and my wife are that way. And it's like, if anybody's going to be honest, we better be honest with each other. Because the Bible says we are one flesh, right? We are one flesh. So we always have a reason why it's not good time to be honest in a particular situation. See, folks? But in practice, it often works out very different. If I told that person the truth, you would never know that what would happen. So you're looking in this time with them, you're talking to somebody, and you're afraid, if I tell them the truth, what can happen here? We're going to get into a big argument? So you think it's not a good time. Or they might blow up. They might get mad at me. Proverbs 10:10 says, people who wink at wrong cause trouble. Now, I didn't know if they had the TV up there in the thing, so I wrote this one out too. Proverbs 10:10, here's what it really says in this here. Someone who holds back the truth causes trouble. So it helps us a little more to understand here today. So why do we hold back the truth if we know it's going to cause some kind of trouble down the line? Because we're cowards, right? We would rather do anything we can to avoid a conflict. We want to keep the peace, not make waves, not rock the boat. So in a relationship, many times you will not be honest with that person because you would rather be passive and keep the peace than shake up, make waves, be honest. You start to share it, and you see that person getting defensive or exploding, and then you back off and say, oh, just forget it. Just forget it. Now, see, that it's wrong here on both sides, really, because we should try to be, if we want people to be honest with us, we have to be able to accept things sometimes that may hurt us. And so you are kind of putting that person in a predicament to where you're really making it difficult for them. So it kind of goes, there's fault can kind of go on both sides here. But sometimes we just got to say, I know this about you, I know this needs to stop, and you need to do it, and you got to be honest, or you're going to cause trouble. As the scripture says. So, superficially, it is better than handling that, which is what we're thinking. I'll just forget it. We'll talk about it later. And you back off and you don't deal with the issues. And the Bible says someone who holds back the truth causes trouble. What kind of trouble? See, dishonesty destroys relationships. Come on. Bitterness begins to rise because of dishonesty. You begin to develop hidden agendas because I don't want to tell. Or you have hurt feelings you're holding down inside, and those things begin to fester. You stop trusting each other. You doubt. It is what might be called truth decay. And the relationship begins to suffer. Some of you are watching relationships die before your eyes because you won't face the facts. Don't get quiet on me. It may just be right at the surface right now. But I'm telling you, if you can't be truthful with each other and honest with each other, you're seeing a decay. Come on. Some of you are watching these things and you're like, what can I do about them? Proverbs 24, 26, an honest answer is like a kiss of friendship. An honest answer is like a kiss of friendship. That says that dishonesty is a lack of love. Come on. You don't lie to people you love. You have to level with them. Amen? You say that. This hurts me to say, and it hurts you to hear, but we've got to deal with this issue. Let me tell you something. Somebody you love, or whether it's a friend, whether it's a wife, whatever it is, and they care enough about you to tell you something that is not easy to say, you need to love that person. Come on, because they care about you. You always tell the truth. You hear me this. Hear this right now. Intimacy is a result of truth. Amen? Many times the truth results in conflict. Do you have to go through conflict in a relationship in order to have intimacy? Yes, you do. Exactly. Amen? This ain't easy, folks. But I love you. If you never had any conflict, you've never gotten to some deep issues, you have been superficial. Come on. There is no intimacy without truth. And there is no truth without conflict. Many of you are living in a superficial relationship because every time you start to deal with an issue, there's a conflict and you back off and say, forget it. You need to sit down and say, let's work something out right here. Let's be truthful with each other. Let's be honest with each other. And let's love one another. Let's promise not to make it hard for the other person to be truthful and honest with us. Come on. And I'm not, you know, listen, this is, there's many of different relationships. And intimacy is not always in the sack. Okay? You can have friends that you're very intimate with, amen, because you're open and honest. Okay? But this helps very much in a husband and wife relationship, very much so. It helps very much. So, deal with things. Don't be afraid to make waves. I want to be at peace. Amen? And you have peace if you know you can be honest with each other. Because, see, that's where trust comes in. They're going to be straight up with me. Because he loves me or she loves me. Okay, you need that. We won't deal with issues and we'll pretend that it's not there. Sometimes, folks, you won't have peace. What you are pretending not to know in your relationship, okay? We have to understand. If you know something, let's be straight up. Let's be honest. Proverbs 28:23. In the end, people appreciate honest criticism far more than flattery. Come on. You know, you can be blown away, knocked down, and when something comes and hits you right upside of the head, and you're like, man, I didn't know this happened. Yeah, I saw it. What do you mean you saw it? You never told me? Oh, I could have told you that. Really? You let me look like a fool? The alternative to being truthful and honest in a relationship is to play games. Have you ever seen anybody play games in the relationship? Have you ever seen anybody play games in marriage? Schools, churches, offices. You see people play games all the time. And they say one thing whenever they mean another. You see, they hint and they make suggestions, but they never come out and say, you're not meeting my needs. I'm not meeting your needs. We've got a problem. Whatever. They never come out and say that. They hem-haw around things. They play games. Why don't you just say what you mean? We need to deal with it and face it head on, and we need to be honest. Amen? You see, someone who holds back the truth always causes problems. Right? It's a false peace you have. It's no way you want to live. So eventually, the relationship, if you're honest, going to die. You see, the divorce rate in America is skyrocketing. Amen? Workplaces are terrible. Managers, if you're here and you're a manager, those of you who have people working under you, you need to be honest and frank with your people. Tell them when they're making mistakes. We need to learn the difference between you blew it or I don't like you. See, that's what people think, though. They don't, they're not managing, and they're not telling you blew it. They just think you don't like them. Nobody wants to accept responsibility for anything nowadays either. So you need to help them. And now I know you got all these, you got to work around all these possible lawsuits and all this other stuff. It's nonsense. See, what we think if we criticize somebody, people don't like us. No. You love your kids, don't you? Come on. Do you correct your kids? You do it just because you don't like them? No. You correct them because you love them. You see, I would die for my kids. Because of that, I correct them when they're wrong. Come on. So being frank with somebody means that you love them. Leading them along means you don't care. And that's what the Bible says. Think before you speak. And I talked here a few weeks ago about how you deliver things. It's just as important what you're going to say. And also when you deliver something. Okay? If you ever see those people in the morning, they are not a morning person. It's probably not the best time to bring something across to them. It's probably not the best time to be frank with them. At least let them get coffee and breakfast under their belt or something. Okay, you see what I'm saying? The time that you deliver. If they're a night person and they're not a morning person, then get them right before you go to bed. They're ready to stay up all night anyways. But, you know, when you're trying to be frank with somebody, get on your knees before you talk to them and say, God, help me to smother with love. Okay? You understand what I'm trying to say here? We need to be frank. But people need to know that when you say it, it's not easy for you. You know, it's not, you know, those people who, you just want to get under somebody's skin. You want to do it, and so you say things that are frank to really just think. Turn the knife when you get it in. You don't want them to see that type of person. You want them to see somebody that says, you know what, I really love you, and I have to tell you something. Understand? How you say it, when you say it, is just as important as what you say. Okay? So we have to have all those elements together. And you know what? Let's put another one on there. Go pray before you do it. And here's what I like to do. Lord, prepare their heart. Prepare them to receive what I have to say. Okay? And I'm telling you, folks, it goes a long ways. So when you tell people, when you're frank with them, it helps them to know that you love them. The Bible says, think before you speak. And that always speak truth. And one of two things will happen. Either it will build up and build up until all of a sudden, one day, it explodes in a nuclear reaction. And in a marriage, maybe one of you will walk out. Evaluate yourself. Be honest. Okay? And then, how honest am I with those who are closest to me? If they have obviously no idea the frustration you're going through, if they know the issues, but you don't talk about them, it's off limits in our relationship or our friendship. If you'd say we have intentionally put all the cards on the table and we're working through the conflict and we can kind of see that light at the end of the tunnel toward intimacy. The Bible says Proverbs learn to keep quiet until you've thought it out. Think before you speak. All right? And always speak truth in love. That's the qualifier. You don't use truth as a club. Okay? You don't use it as a club. Truth without love is brutality. Okay? It's cruel. It's cruel. Proverbs 12:18. Some people make cutting remarks, but the words of the wise bring healing. And that's what we want. We want to bring healing. And that's why we're being frank. We're doing what the Word of God tells us to do, but you're bringing it in it with love. You want to bring healing. And we're there to make each other better. We're building up. Okay? So you can wound people or you can heal people. You can hurt people or heal people with your words. And that's true, isn't it? Amen? It's very, very true. Now, you have been both healed and hurt by words. It's our choice. It is our choice. And sometimes we grieve over the thoughtless things that we say to people we love the most. You ever say something later on, you're like, why did I do that? Well, don't let it go. Fix it. Amen? Fix it. Why did I do that? And again, you may need to pray and you need to, God, when's the best time to talk? God, give me that opportunity again to make this right. You see, I believe we can fix any problem by talking it out. If we both care. Some people, once you hurt them, you're done, and they don't ever want to look at you again. You know, there's people that are that way, folks. But I think most, if we're honest and we're truly a child of God, we can work anything out. Amen? Anything can be worked out with loving and sincere communication. So sometimes when we grieve over the thoughts and the things that we say, we hurt people. And a lot of times we hurt the ones we love the most so often because we're around each other more. All right? My wife and my kids, whom I love the most, sometimes I say the most thoughtless things, and that really bothers me. How can I say things to somebody that is most important in my life? How can I do these things? Have you ever heard anybody justify their insensitivity by calling it a candor? I just say what I feel. Well, it's not always wise. Okay, again, how are you bringing it across? Are you doing it in love? Are you using it as a club? Are you using it as something to help make them feel be better, be a better person? Why do we want to keep clubbing each other all the time? You know what I mean, are you the Three Stooges? Are you the Two Stooges? Say things to build each other up. Say things to help each other be better. Amen? You ever been around somebody, they just, you know, they're putting the other person down in front of you, and it's just, you're just like almost embarrassed for them? Build each other up. The Bible says that's a fool. Proverbs calls that person a fool. I just speak what's on my mind. Well, that's dumb and it's tactless. That's not virtue. That is vice. That's a vice. The Bible says you speak the truth in love. Everything we do in love. Amen? We need to do it in love. Proverbs 15:4. Gentle words cause life and health. The good person is a gracious person. Gentle words cause life and health. Notice the power of gentle words. They cause life and they cause health. I need life. I need health, don't you? Amen? When you confront somebody, you care enough to confront them, but you confront them in love because those words cause life and health. That's what we need, life and health. Proverbs 12:25, but a word of encouragement does wonders. Does wonders. Amen? Would you agree with that? Somebody, when they come up to you and they encourage you, amen, you can sometimes live weeks on a good compliment. Huh? You know, you get out in the car, you tell your spouse, so-and-so said this about me. Wasn't that nice of them? Yeah, it's pretty nice of them. So you can live on those things. One of the greatest people in the Bible, who is a good encourager in the Bible? Anybody? Barnabas. His nickname was the Encourager. How would you like to have a nickname called the Encourager? Huh? Hey, Brother Encourager, how you doing? Huh? His nickname. What a name to have, the Encourager. And I can't think of a better title for your tombstone to say the Encourager. He lifted people up. Amen? Wouldn't that be great? Everybody else discourages people. Be an encourager. Speak the truth, but speak the truth in love. You see, you're going to meet a lot of people this next week. And without even knowing who's those people are sometimes. And I can tell you, everybody, folks, is having a tough time somewhere. Everybody somewhere is hurting. Everybody around you is hurting, just in different areas. So be kind to everybody. Be kind to everybody. You see, everybody you come in contact with this week, build them up. Build them up. Don't tear them down. Say a word of encouragement. Don't give them a put-down or a sarcasm. Don't tease them with a put-down statement. Build them up. Speak the truth in love. How often do I encourage other people? Ask yourself that. How often do I encourage other people? Do I nag or do I brag? Do I nag on them or do I brag on them? Say something encouraging to your spouse, your husband, your wife, your children, your friends, your workers, co-workers. Build them up. And when you look at all these kind of statements, are you ashamed at what you say? Have you heard anybody say this? I just said something and I'm so surprised that I said that. Or that's not like me. Yes, it is exactly like you. Okay? The Bible says that your words are the window of your soul. The Bible says that your words reveal your character. They reveal, the words you say, they reveal who you really are. You say, where in the world did that come from? It came from your heart. Proverbs 10:32, the lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked speaketh forwardness. So what is in your life you're pretending not to know? You see, like a big pink elephant in your living room, and you say, what elephant? Okay? There is a major problem that needs to be dealt with in your relationship, but you're ignoring it. What problem? It's a fatal mistake to do that. What do you do? What do you do? Go home and think before you speak. Amen? You might even write it out, what needs to be said. Thoughts disentangle themselves when they pass through the lips and the fingertips. So if you can put it on paper, if you can't put it on paper, you haven't really thought it out. Then you speak the truth in love. Take a calculated risk and speak the truth. Risk the conflict and go through the conflict because the intimacy is worth it. The things that come out of your mouth come out of your heart. The problem is not my tongue. The problem is my heart. It's me. I say hurtful things because inside I am hurting. I need a new heart. But folks, God specializes in heart transplants. Come on. Jesus Christ said, I came to give you a new heart and to heal your hurt so you could stop hurting others. To heal your insecurities so you will stop putting down others. The reason you don't want to build up others is because you think they get built up enough. They build up and I'm not, and I get left out. God wants to heal your hurts so you can stop hurting others with what you say, what you talk about. God will give you a new heart. That's what it means to be born again. It means to start over. Are you holding back truth in your relationship, in the key relationships with those people closest to you? Some of you are in relationships that are dying right before your eyes, and there is an issue that needs to be dealt with, and nobody talks about it. It's family secret. There's some major problem that needs to be discussed. It may be financial, it may be sexual, it may be parenting problems. You're not dealing with it. He holds back. The truth causes trouble. You want to deal with the conflict. You have got to care enough about the conflict, and you have got to fight and save the relationship. You've got to stop pretending that you don't know what you know. You need to think before you speak, and need to speak the truth, and you need to speak it in love. Now, I believe that God wants us to be positive in our speech. And when you meet somebody on the street, and you say, "You look terrible," what happens? They are not pleased. You may cause a fight, or they may walk away depressed. But if you can say something positive to them, they feel a whole lot better. So in the same way that we approach our Lord, if we are negative in our prayers, we don't just usually get an answer. So, you know, if you're mad and you're going down to prayer and you're mad and you're yelling at God, you may not get an answer. Or you may get one you don't really want. Come on. So we have to be careful in how we bring things across. If we are negative in our prayers, we don't usually get an answer. We need to pray the word of God, which is positive. You ever pray the word of God? Come on. Paul refers to it as the word of faith. So what is it? He said it was the word that he preached. It should be in our hearts and in our mouths. Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Life is in the power of the tongue, so we need to live and walk in the Spirit. John 6:63, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So how do we walk and live in the Spirit? Walking in God's will. The word of God is God's will for our lives. Amen? Death is also in the power of our speech. Remember Job, the thing that he feared and spoke came to him. Faith is a language. It is his word. We need the word. Amen? Romans 10:8. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Speak the word of God, folks. Amen? Believe the word of God. Folks, to stand and repeat these words often, we need to stand and repeat these words. Amen? Lord, give me ears to hear. Lord, give me a mind to understand. Lord, give me a heart to believe. Speak these words to God. You think God love hearing us speak these things all the time. Amen? Confession means to agree with or speak the same thing. Say what God said in his word, and you will make the right confession of faith. There are 5 good results when we are speaking God's word. It will release our faith. Amen? Our words release faith as it builds us up. It is a way of putting our faith into action. Money in the pocket needs to be into circulation if it is to do something good, right? Release our faith brings results of our faith that is spoken. So we can have it in our heart, but we need to speak it. Praise the Lord. Hebrews 10:23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Confession of God's word raises the level of our faith. Amen? It lifts our relationship with God. It increases our faith. Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by what? Hearing, and hearing by the word of God. All right? Also, God's word creates the realities of redemption. Something can be true, but not real. example, when we are first saved, we know it's real. Amen? For 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Praise the Lord. Confession will rule and dominate the forces of your life for good or bad. It depends on what we confess. Confession will establish the level of your life. Negative speech brings negative results. Positive speech brings positive results. Amen. Joel 3, verse 10. Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. Amen. Called them weak, but let them say, you say you're strong. Confession will put the angels into action. Psalms 103:20. Bless the Lord, ye his angels that exalt in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Hebrews 1, verse 14. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Also, confession of God's word will create fruit of our lips. Isaiah 57:19. I create the fruit of the lips, peace, peace, to him that is far off and to him that is near, saith the Lord, and I will heal him. Amen. Hebrews 13:15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. And Jesus, folks, is the high priest of our words. Hebrews 3, verse 1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and the high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. Amen. God is the one who commands angels. God does it as we speak it, and we must agree with God. Jesus spoke that if two on earth agree, we must be in agreement with the word of God. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 20. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. Amen. God says yes to his words and to his promises. Amen. If we in turn should agree with him and his words with amen. And I agree. Amen. May God help us to walk the walk of faith and talk the talk of faith. How? By walking and speaking his holy word. Praise the Lord. Let us learn, folks, today. I encourage you today. Let us learn the language of faith. Amen. God bless you. Let's stand.